Soulmates, a Ted Lasso podcast. My name is Tori.
And I'm Kevin.
We're your after show where we really dig into the characters of Ted Lasso and Rebecca Welton, how they're connected, why they're soulmates, and that we actually have some fucking stuff to talk about.
Oh,
this week.
Wow. Yeah. Starting off cursing.
Why not?
The rough language.
Yeah, that's what this show is all about. So we got a few reviews this week, but I'm not going to read them. Only because I'm already worried that this podcast is going to be too long. But I want to say that two people on Facebook commented to me that they are not shippers, but they still enjoy our podcast.
Wow.
I was really surprised by that, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, isn't that like listening to like alien web podcasts but not believing in aliens? I don't know. I was trying to think of a good example.
That could be a comparison. But I don't believe in ghosts, but I do love some ghost podcasts.
Okay, all right.
But yeah, I'm happy that they're finding value in it. And I think also, you know, there are people that believe that they are soulmates. They're just not soulmates that are ever going to see each other naked. So I guess since we just talk about the characters more, they're still getting value out of it because they're on board with the soulmate part.
That's what I was thinking, is maybe they enjoy our banter and our discussion on the characters themselves. Okay, you're laughing at me.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
maybe we can read the reviews at the end.
The end of the episode?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. So then
that way
wanna,
you can just turn it off if you don't want to hear them.
That's true. You could do that if you don't
want to hear them. I'm making a format decision.
Executive decision.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Or not. I don't know. Let me see how tired I am.
I also remember that, one of the reviews said that they were not a Ted Becca shipper until they started listening to this podcast.
Wow. We turned somebody.
That I couldn't believe because I never really thought we'd change anyone's mind. I just wanted to be like a nice, cozy place for shippers to have to listen to if they wanted to.
But, right.
So that made me happy.
Wow. We're turning people. That's cool.
If you are enjoying this podcast, please consider going to iTunes or Spotify and leaving a rating or review. It just will help us be seen by more people.
Yep.
And we have grown quite a bit this year, and I appreciate it a lot.
And we might read your review at the end of our show.
We may.
Or not.
I will. Even if he gets bored and leaves, I'll still do it. The episode we're going to cover today is called International Break. It was released on May 17th, 2023. It was written by Jane Becker. And directed by Matt Lipsey.
Oh,
Matt Lipsey is back.
Familiar name.
Yes, he's a hardworking Ted Lasso director here. The summary of the episode is that there is an international break, so some of the players are going to be going to their...
respective.
Well, not all going to their own country.
Not going to the country,
but they're going to represent their countries.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the international break. And Rebecca gets a proposal from Edwin Akufu. Not a marriage proposal.
That's say.
And I was realizing that Ted really doesn't do much in this one. And then, you know, obviously there are stuff with the other characters, but we don't focus on them as much. But I will. I mean, everything is so interweaved in this episode that there's no way we could leave anything out. So when this episode starts, Ted is in the locker room. He is letting us know, because I'm sure they already know, that there's no game next weekend because it's international break, and that some of them will be going to play for their home teams. Then Beard reads out the teams. Jamie will be playing for England. Van Damme will be playing for Canada. Danny will be playing for Mexico. Bumbercatch will be playing for Switzerland. And Colin will be playing for Wales. And those are all the names that are read. And the one that stands out for not getting called is Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks a little bummed about it because he's wanted to play for the Nigerian team. It's been a dream of his for years.
But his other teammates kind of, you know, boost him and help him get through it.
Jamie comes over even and is making sure that he's
tells
okay.
him he got fucked.
Yeah. And not in the good way. This is a very different Jamie-Sam relationship than we saw in the very beginning
right.
of the show. The first time we see Rebecca, it is for another Biscuits with the Boss.
Yep.
So Ted is in there. They're talking. He says, so are you telling me it only shows up once a month? She says, yeah. Yes.
Never skips a month.
Never skips. Only if you're pregnant.
Yep.
And you're kind of curious as to what they're talking about, because it sounds like they're talking about
a period.
And he says, I got to check out that wine delivery service. Sounds like a real corker. Yes.
I know. He's so proud of that joke. And then, of course, immediately she does not acknowledge the joke, doesn't laugh, and then moves on to, did you hear about Nathan?
Yes.
Like, so, Rebecca.
Do you notice that every time, and we're going to see it more, every time he makes a dumb joke, they always go to Rebecca's face to see what the, if it's an eye roll, if it's
or just not
goodbye,
even.
Ted. Yeah, yeah, or not or even no acknowledgement at all. The only person that they're ever worried about us seeing the expression on the face is Rebecca. So yeah, she asked, did you hear about Nathan? And he said, I did. She's like, what do you think happened there? And he says, well, boss, I'm like an incomplete list of Madeline Kahn's best films. Mm. I ain't got no clue. It took me a little bit to get that one.
Yeah.
One, because I didn't hear Madeline Kahn at first. But I get it. She was in the movie Clue. And again, Rebecca's like, and then he says, and it ain't really any of my business. And she's like, you know what? I mean this in the nicest way possible, but you suck at girl talk.
I know. He just...
And he even says, I don't like gossip. So,
but she says it's not gossip, it's speculation. Where's the fine line?
There really isn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess with something that, it's kind of a public thing that they're speculating as to what could happen, and maybe not so much gossipy if it was about someone's personal life, but I don't know. It seems like it's a pretty gray area. Now we find out that Trent's actually been there the whole time when the camera pans over.
I know, it's hilarious.
And he says that he's actually heard there's been rumblings of inappropriate workplace behavior over at West Ham.
Right.
And she says, see?
That's excellent girl talk.
Excellent girl talk. And Trent looks pretty proud of himself.
Yeah, well, he should be. He's like, yep, yep, that's
see what
right.
I did there? Yep. He's going to have a better chance of seeing her naked. So she starts brushing off crumbs everywhere. Which
all
are
the
all
time.
Over the table.
Always with the crumbs everywhere.
I wonder if she has an ant problem in this office.
I don't know. But I can honestly say those biscuits do create a lot of crumbs.
They do.
From
even
personal
the ones,
experience.
The ones that we make, we use the milk bar recipe, which includes eggs. And I know that's not a regular shortbread recipe. I don't care. It's delicious.
It is fantastic.
But yeah, they're like crumbly on the outside and then chewy on the inside.
So they
fall
apart.
Still make crumbs.
You've heard the recipe we use is wonderful, by the way. So
I've had people tell me that they've made it because they've heard us talk about it.
Oh.
It's the milk bar one. Just look up milk bar Ted Lasso biscuits. They're great. And I also add a little vanilla and cinnamon. Yes, I know that's not in shortbread, but I don't care because
don't
it's
care.
Delicious. And then you can even mix a little sugar and cinnamon at the end and sprinkle it on the top before it goes in the oven. It's very good.
Yep, you'd be better off making the biscuits than buying the ice cream. That's all I'll say.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, let's move on.
I had a complicated relationship with that ice cream. But since we're all friends here, let me tell you what I did.
And we didn't buy one.
No, I
bought two.
I went there right when it opened and I got two because I was very excited. Tastes like cheesecake. I wasn't a fan. Turns out that all of Jenny's base is the cheesecakey, creamy
that's
base.
That's
odd
so to me, but
whatever.
It's just sweet chisone. I mean, I like cheesecake, but I don't want that.
So what I did was there's a place down the street from our house called Andy's, which has frozen custard. I'm sure there's other frozen custard places around you.
Well, there's Andy's, I think.
There are in some places, but yeah,
anyway.
No, I don't think it's a huge chain, though.
Okay.
But there are definitely frozen custard places everywhere, I'm sure. And I went there, got a pint of their vanilla custard, made the milk bar recipe biscuits, smashed them up when they were still warm.
Oh, my gosh. I remember
this.
It
was so good. It was excellent. It was exactly
good.
What I
some.
Wanted Biscuits with the Boss ice cream to taste like. So I was quite happy. All right. Anyway,
sorry.
Back to
we digress.
Back to the show. So she says, so chaps, what do we think? Is Nathan capable of being involved in something like that? And I think they're both thinking, is Nathan capable of, like, I don't know, I guess being inappropriate with women in the office or something?
Yeah.
And they both agree no. Like, Nathan's whatever he is going through right now, but he's not Rupert. So then Higgins comes in and he says, I heard some interesting scuttlebutt last night.
Scuttlebutt? Who says that?
Higgins, and probably Ted. Ted says, ooh, I don't like gossip, but my butt don't mind a little scuttle.
What does that mean?
I was thinking to myself, is this Ted's cute way of letting Rebecca know that he is into pegging, even though...
Oh, okay.
What kind of scuttle is going on over the butt?
I don't know.
But it's Ted. Again, we see Rebecca's expression to his dumb joke. Higgins says Edwin Akufu is back in town and looking to create a super league of football clubs. Trent, Rebecca, and Leslie all agree that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
And Ted says, I'm sorry, why is it so bad that a billionaire wants to put together a bunch of superheroes to fight crime?
Again, another joke.
But I think, as we've said before, he just does this sometimes to go for the joke or to like break the tension, you know?
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's not, he can't, there's keeping no way somebody could really be that dumb and still be able to be a functioning member of society.
All right.
A Joey Tribbiani. And so they're like, no, you're thinking of the Justice League. And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, you're right, you're right. And they explain that a Super League is when the world's biggest and wealthiest teams decide to compete against each other. So basically you would push out all of the lower teams. So then they would only end up with the powerhouse teams and the other
with great players.
Clubs,
right. There wouldn't be weak teams. It would be all great players on great teams.
Right. And expensive.
Right.
Rebecca says, I wouldn't be surprised if Rupert was involved in this. And right then, her cell phone buzzes.
Mm-hmm.
She looks down and she says, speak of the devil. And she holds up her phone and it says, the devil. And she declines the call.
Yeah, that was great.
And then Ted sits there for a minute and he goes, Rupert. Yeah. Okay, right, right. Because he thought it could have been the actual devil for a moment. Just like he thought at some point that she spoke to God when she spoke to the son.
One extra little tidbit that we learn about Higgins. I know this is not a Higgins podcast, but he's in a jazz jam band with other directors of operations called the Directors of Beep Operations. And I thought that was excellent.
That was cute.
The Directors of Beep Operations.
It's also very Higgins. I want them all to like go. I mean, we don't have enough time. We have two episodes. We don't have enough time for anything. But I want them to all go to this little show of his.
Concert.
You know? Yeah.
The Directors of Beep Operations on tour.
So the next time we see Ted, he, Beard, and Roy are in the office after practice. And Ted says, I'll tell you what, Sam had himself a case of the mean reds out there today. Do you know what mean reds means?
Mm-mm.
Either did I.
Did you look it up?
I did look it up.
I thought you did.
And it is from Breakfast at Tiffany's. Holly Golightly says that she has a case of the mean reds, and it basically means when you have anxiety that you don't really understand what it's from, or if you're like scared of something and you don't really know why. So it must have seemed like he was scared of the ball out there.
Oh, I see.
And Roy says, well, I don't blame him. It's hard to see the ball when your eyes are full of tears.
Mm.
Sam walks by the office door. So Ted calls him over and he says, you know, I know this week isn't going to be easy. And he says, but don't forget, even the great Michael Jordan himself didn't make his high school varsity basketball team. And Sam's like, yeah, thanks. But wasn't it because he was only 5'10"? Then he just needed to grow more, and the next year he grew 5 inches, and then he did make it.
Yeah, I don't think Ted expected Sam to know that much about Michael Jordan.
No. And he's like, oh, well, yeah, when you know all of those facts, it does take the motivational
way. It does render the story a little less motivational.
But he tells Sam, keep your head up, be a goldfish.
Yeah.
We have learned a little bit about be a goldfish over the last 3 seasons of this show, and I still agree with it, especially in a case where you can't do anything about
it. Right, you can't control the
it's
situation.
It's not in your control, yes. But I think Ted has also learned that being a goldfish is not always the best when people are like just hurting you and you're not telling them repeatedly.
Yes.
So I think it was interesting to hear be a goldfish now from Be a Goldfish in the first season. Because when you first heard it in the first season, and the show was so like positive and upbeat, and you're like, that's really good advice, you know, just to brush it off. And it still is mm-hmm. in situations where you really cannot control the situation anyway. So just keep doing what you're doing. But it's funny to hear that now, knowing how much more we know about Ted.
That's true.
So Beard says that he and Jane are going to be going to Hatchet and Rye later.
Oh, my gosh.
To throw targets at a photo of Nate with a target over his crotch.
Hatchet and Rye.
Do you think that's a real place?
I don't know, but it's, you know, these days the way places are named. They're named so funny like that. But.
And I love that. I want to go to one of these axe throwing places, but more importantly, I want to go to one of those places where you beat the crap out of office equipment.
Mm.
You smash stuff.
Yeah.
That sounds like something that I would enjoy. I think, yeah, you'd fit in real well there. So he invites both Ted and Roy, and they both decline.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I thought Roy was just declining because he was declining, but he really, really does have somewhere to go. Yeah.
I know. That was great. I thought that was so funny. I'm like, oh, I got a thing.
Right.
But he really did. He just didn't want to say it was National Uncle's Day or whatever the heck it is.
The made up holiday. I think it's made up.
Yeah.
So Beard's cell phone rings. He's like, okay, here we go. And he's talking to Jane. And he's like, yeah, we're all sick. Can you remember my throwing axe, please?
Yeah.
No, not that one. The other one. So Ted's like, how many axes?
No, well, he says, just bring all 17.
Well, he says, yeah, just bring them all. Because Ted asked him how many you have. And
wait,
then
I thought at some
17.
Point they say it's... Okay, that...
Yeah, because he asked
sorry.
Him and he says it's 17.
I jumped a gun.
That's
right.
Fine. And he's like, but they're not all for throwing.
Right, like, okay.
Some are just for chopping wood, I guess.
But then why would he have her carry all of them?
Right. And then he says to himself... And Ted's like, they're all here in the UK. So do you think... There's no way Beard flew with 17 axes. So has he purchased 17 axes since?
Since he's been here. And then he's going to have to ship them back, I guess.
Since he's been in the UK.
He's had almost 3 years.
He has been introduced to axes and pegging and Stonehenge.
Okay.
So he says she's going to have a hard time carrying all of those.
Yeah, 17. I would think so.
Yeah, but Jane will figure out a way. I think just her like negative energy will float them to Hatchet and Rye. So now we see Rebecca walking through the hallway, and she runs into Sam. And it's such an awkward meetup.
Yeah, it is.
Like, they don't know what to say to each other. She tells him she feels bad about what happened with the team. And he says, I guess I could have worked harder.
Yeah, I mean, she knows... You know, she knows he's a really great person.
Mm-hmm.
They had the relationship, so it becomes very awkward. It's like they don't want to handshake or do they hug?
And right. They don't
instead,
know how to
they
touch
do these little,
other.
You know, fist bumps on each other.
And, yeah, like she kind of goes for the strings on his hoodie at one point, and then it's just like pats his arm because maybe the strings of the hoodie is too intimate.
I know.
And then he gives her the little arm punch.
I know. It's a little awkward.
But he's like, I guess I could have worked harder. And she says, I think you're wonderful.
Yeah.
Which is a callback to when they broke up at the end of season 2. But I feel like there is a specific reason why these two met in the hallway again, which we'll get to.
Okay.
So he says, oh, thank you. He leaves. She leaves. And they're even as they're walking away, they're kind of like, oh, that was awkward. And if you kind of parallel this with how different the scene was when she and Ted passed each other in the hallway recently, where they were both like in their own heads, and then
right
they saw each other and she kind of relaxed and he was like, you know, realized that he was almost ignoring her, and they didn't seem to have as much awkwardness there.
Yeah.
Even though they read each other's minds, and that was something. So she gets to her office and Rupert's standing there.
I know, worst nightmare.
He looks at the picture on the wall and says, where's the Hockney I gave you? So in the very first episode, we see Rebecca staring at the Hockney, and she asks if they should... She asks Higgins if he wants it, and he's like, that's a Hockney. It's worth £1 million.
Oh, yeah, right.
And she's like, oh, yeah, good point. You should have said yes. And then she puts it in the auction pile.
Ah.
And she replaced it with the picture
of pictures of butterflies.
And she's like, how did you get in here? And he says, my old mate, Renee. And so Renee, she's like, is a creepy guy. She says he lives in the sewers, but he's like, that's rude. He just works in the sewers.
Right.
And he let him in. We're going to find out that she knows a little more about Renee, and Rupert mm-hmm. knows a little bit more about sneaking in too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I noticed right off the bat that Rupert is limping here.
Right.
And I figured it had something to do with the show, but now I've seen a couple of things saying that Anthony Head is actually...
injured?
Hurt, yeah. He's been using a cane. So I'm wondering now if it really is just the actor and they're just not bringing it up because we're supposed to think that Rupert's always walked that way, or...
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't realize that. I thought maybe something happened. There was an altercation.
Yeah, me too. I fully thought that we were going to find out it had something to do with Mrs. Cakes or something to do with Nathan quitting. Now I'm not so sure, so we're just going to have to, I guess, wait and see if it comes up on the show at all. So she asks him, what do you want? And he says, I want to invite you to the Akufu League meeting. She's like, why? And he says he wants to extend an olive branch and that he thinks it's important for her to be there. I don't really know what his motive was there, but...
Well, she does own a league.
She does.
So maybe he figured he could persuade her in...
Maybe, yeah, maybe this is only going to be fun if he gets to keep beating her team.
So yeah,
he's
I guess
she might as well be there if all the other teams are
getting... I guess so, yeah. That's an angle.
Or he does really still love Richmond and doesn't want to see them out of it. We'll see. She tells Rupert that she'll think about it. Rupert tells her sneaking in there today made him think of the very first time he saw a game at Nelson Road. And she says, when they played by candlelight.
Oh, just a dig at the age.
So she's like, okay, bye. He says, I look forward to hearing from you. And she, on the way out, she asks him, what happened with Nathan Shelley?
Yeah.
And he says, some people just aren't ready when they get their shot.
Hmm. I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not.
But we don't really know yet. Like, we know that Nate left that bar, went home to Jade.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I was thinking that Rupert would have fired him after that. But we know that Nate did quit. But I'm wondering if that was the catalyst or if there really is something else that pushed him to quit. Because where there's also the whole thing with Mrs. Cakes. So I'm curious to see if we're going to find out that more actually happened than we know of just yet.
Yeah, and I'd be interested to see.
Before we go on to the next Rebecca scene, I want to talk about when we meet Roy's sister for the second time.
Oh, yeah.
I yelled... Did you know why I was yelling when that happened in the episode?
I didn't know at the time, but I know now.
Yes, yes, because I told you. So, the actress who plays, and we only know her as Dr. O'Sullivan.
Hmm.
We now know she is Roy's sister. Her name is Sophia Barclay. And in season two, when Ted is at the ER with Dr. Sharon after her bike accident,
oh, right.
We meet an ER doctor who's going through the whole spiel about what he needs to do. I think she thinks that they're husband and wife at first, and Sharon's like, no. So after that episode aired, people were like, I bet that she is Roy's sister, because Roy's sister is an ER doctor.
Right.
And I'll admit I didn't buy into it, because I was like, well, Roy's sister would know who Ted Lasso is.
Yeah, maybe she just ignored him.
Yeah, so now that it is canon that is Roy's sister, I want to go back and watch that scene because it's probably even funnier because she probably totally knows who he is and she's just fucking with him and pretending that she doesn't because the apple doesn't fall far from Roy. I don't know.
I guess so, yeah.
So yes, so she is Roy's sister. Now, the other thing. Do you think that was the plan all along? Or do you think they saw the talk on Twitter and wherever else and they were like...
And they just went with it?
When they had to cast Roy's sister, they're like, let's call up the lady who was the ER doctor.
Right, because a lot of people speculated that was Roy's sister anyway. So
I did a poll on Twitter, but more people think... It was like pretty close. It was like 53 to 40-something. More people think that it was that way the whole time.
Oh, that was the plan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that was the plan.
I don't either. And knowing them, they probably just...
If it wasn't the plan, it's hilarious.
It is. Yeah, it was good.
It's so funny that they went back and did that. Good. And she's then good for that. Go, yes, she's fantastic. I noticed that she's in that new Sam Heughan movie, Love Again, which I don't ever want to see.
Right.
But she doesn't play the romantic lead against him, but she's also, I don't know who she plays in the movie, but now I would watch it just for her.
Yeah, can we just watch her parts and then...
Yes, we can do that. And then the other exciting thing is that we saw Phoebe again.
Yes, which we hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah, she looks older. Luckily, she's not driving yet.
I know.
Because they haven't used her in a while. And it took so long to make...
To film this show. This season.
Okay, so the next time we see Rebecca, she's bursting into Higgins' office. Poor Higgins. It's the second time he's been trying to enjoy a cup of tea...
And he spills it all over himself.
Hot tea all over himself. And then...
And not once, but twice he spills
it. Yeah. Because she's like, oh, I'm sorry. And he's like, oh, it's okay. It's not bad. Then he drops the whole cup.
Yeah.
Into his lap.
Not once, but twice.
Yeah. And...
Then, you know, if you notice, Rebecca doesn't offer to help her. Go get a paper towel. It's like, I need some advice.
You can deal with your wet crotch when I leave. Right.
Hot, wet crotch. Oh, that sounds terrible. Never mind.
I love watching Hannah Waddingham walk through doorways, too, for several reasons. But for one, because she looks like she's almost not going to fit.
I know. She barely clears the door.
Yes.
I know.
I love it. And the angle that they shoot it at, too, is so funny. Anyway, she comes in. She tells Higgins, I need advice. And he said, Keely didn't text you back? And she says, no. Ted, can't find him. Sassy, on a plane, no Wi-Fi.
Can you imagine that? Disgusting.
Then he says, how about your mother? And she says, are you fucking with me?
And then he says, I'm flattered. Let's do this shit.
Yes. So he's excited.
Yeah.
This is kind of a parallel scene with when Keely came in and needed advice from Higgins at the end of season two. And he also was like, where's Rebecca and Ted? And she says something like they're not around or whatever. So, right. Or she can't. Say it to Rebecca because it was about Rebecca. So Rebecca sits down and she says, I don't want to be a part of the Akufu League. And he asks her why, because he's a crazy billionaire.
Yeah, erotic. erratic, not erotic. My God. Erratic.
With the temperament of one of those kids from Willy Wonka that gets murdered at the chocolate factory.
I know, which is so funny.
It is so funny. And I now... I feel like I am a kindred spirit with Higgins.
I know, because you posted.
I don't think I ever actually posted it. I think texted you guys on the group chat.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Our elementary school did that play.
Right.
My daughter wasn't in it, but some of her friends were, so she wanted to go see it. So I went and saw it with her. And I've never been a big fan of the original movie. I've never seen the Johnny Depp version. And so I watched the play and I'm like, this is bizarre. Like, this is just about some creepy guy who lives in a house, offers them candy, and then murders children.
Well, it's a chocolate factory. It's not a house.
Well, yes, but it's like some weird, mysterious castle thing.
That no one was allowed in for years.
But our friend Kia was like, he doesn't murder them. They're forever changed. But Kia Higgins agrees with me.
Yeah.
So.
Do you see him again at the end of the movie?
I don't know. Do you? Because
I don't think so. I haven't seen it in a while. But yeah. I was a fan of the original. The Johnny Depp, I didn't care for it.
Maybe I need to go back and watch it now.
The original's good.
Anyway.
Anywho.
So he says, I'm sorry. Rebecca says, I don't think that's what happens, Leslie. And he says, I hate to break it to you. Those children are dead.
Children, like it's real.
So he says, who cares why Rupert invited you to the meeting? Like, you have a seat at the table and you need to go do this.
Because... Go see what's what is what he says, which is funny to me. That he's not something it seems like Higgins would say. Go see what's what.
He surprises you. You know, never know what's going to come out of Higgins' mouth.
Exactly. And the great thing is that he actually... I think gave her sound advice here that she took. Like, you're right. You're darn right. She'd like, thank you. Like, think she actually took his advice.
Yeah, you need to take this opportunity and just run with it. Who cares why he invited you, but you should go find out what it's about. And she says, thank you, Leslie. She's all excited. She gets up and goes out.
But yeah, and he gets all cocky.
He does?
Not cocky, but just kind of like confident.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's cocky's feeling not like, the word.
But yeah. He tells her that if people start disappearing one by one due to a series of unfortunate events.
Yeah.
You get out of there.
Yeah. You get the hell out of there. Do you hear me? Like, it's so funny.
I love them together. Ted and Beard are down in the office. And as soon as I heard this song, I knew that I recognized it from somewhere. It's Nick Cave's Red Right Hand.
Right.
Apparently, though, it's been in a lot of things. Because Mark Shapiro from Ted Lasso said that it's the theme song to Peaky Blinders, which I did not know because
we have never watched that show. But we just haven't.
I just kept picturing the X-Files in my head, and so I went digging, and it's from the episode Dwayne Barry when Scully is kidnapped in the second season.
I don't remember, but that's why it's familiar.
Yeah, yeah, cool. If you would remember the scene if I showed it to you, then he's the guy who has her kidnapped in his trunk is driving around, the police are after him, and that song is playing.
Oh, cool. Look at that.
But I guess it's also been in Scream. It's been in a lot of things. So we didn't see Roy walk in, but Roy has walked in wearing a tie-dye shirt that was given to him by Phoebe at his uncle's day party.
Yep.
And she said that the colors say his name, red, orange, and yellow.
Right, Roy, R-O-Y.
Yes.
I thought that was actually kind of nice.
That's very sweet. It's so cute. And he only ever wears black. So he just walked in wearing a tie-dye shirt with still black pants and black shoes.
Shoes, right.
He's been getting stared at. So he walks into the coach's office, and Ted doesn't notice him at first. Only Beard does. And Beard goes, bocce ball. So he's trying to get Ted's attention, and Ted's not focused on whatever he's trying to get him to do. Finally, he looks up, and he also sees it. They stand up. No one says a word.
Right.
They just kind of look at him. He turns around. He walks out. He passes Trent Crim.
Right, who's standing there.
Yeah, who comes in and kind of gives them a look like, okay.
Like, what is that? Why so much color?
It's like suddenly Roy is blinding everyone with that shirt.
And no one can figure out why.
No. And can you see there's something on Trent's shirt? This is another cool shirt.
I know. I did notice that. It's like black on black screen print or something.
When this episode goes up, it'll either be later tonight or tomorrow on Friday. Craig and Jeremy from Peanut Butter and Biscuits just put out an interview with James Lance is his name.
Mm-hmm.
Go listen to that. And they asked him about the t-shirts. So
cool.
I definitely want to find out
if he had input on
what shirts were chosen and stuff. Because you can tell it's another like cool kind of printed band shirt, but it's just hard to see it
because it's like
the colors are so similar. So now this is going to go into one of the first montages of this episode. And the song's still playing. We see Keeley trying to stack.
Yeah, beer coasters.
Beer coasters up. Into a little house of cards.
House of beer coasters.
She gets a text from Rebecca. And I love this text because it says, now I'm starting to get worried. Are you okay? Are you alive? Text no if dead.
Text no if dead.
See, okay. Rebecca's sillier than we think she is. Or at least we thought she was in the beginning. And May comes over to her and says, is everything all right? And Keeley says, everything? Fuck no.
Yeah, I know.
This show uses little phrases over and over again, if you've noticed that. And this is another one where...
Oh, really? I didn't...
In the funeral episode, Ted's late to the funeral. He goes up to Rebecca and she's like, oh yeah, is everything okay? And he says, everything? Heck no.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Heck no. Of course. Right. I know Ted didn't say fuck no.
Yeah. So now she said everything, fuck no. And then Rebecca's going to say something at the end of this episode that is the exact quote of something that Trent Crim said.
Oh, boy.
So it's interesting how they take little snippets and reuse them. They've done that before when they've introduced two people and congratulations, you both just met a cool person.
Somebody really cool person.
Yeah, and they've used that line twice.
Kufo did that.
He said
when Banksy and Sam met.
Mm-hmm. And Ted said it.
Alleged Banksy.
No. He said it when...
I thought it was when he met that guy that they thought was Banksy.
Oh, wait. Maybe. Oh, yeah.
Akufu
said that. Yeah, I think you're right. I'm sorry.
You both just met somebody pretty cool or
and
real totally
Ted
cool or whatever.
Said it when Ollie met Trent Crim.
That's right.
In the first.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so...
I hope I'm right about that.
They continue on. May and Keeley are talking. And the reason why I want to bring this up is because May says something interesting here. But first, I like that Keeley says, what's your name? I'm Keeley. Oh, what's God. Your name? And she says, May. And she's like, oh, that's an interesting name. Is that short for anything? And May just goes, maybe. And then she says, is this your place, maybe?
I know. Starts calling her maybe. That was hilarious.
That was very Phoebe Buffay.
It was, but didn't you mention, and I know I'm going off the rails here a little bit, didn't you mention that they had met before?
They have met before.
When, but it was when Rebecca took her mother out to, yeah. And May was definitely the server.
May was right? Absolutely okay. The server because that's when.
I mean, I remember, but I kind of
I think
don't.
Rebecca's mom asked May, can you get them to turn off the football? And she's like, football, they're watching Great Bake Off or Great British Bake Off.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But
yeah, so
I'm guessing that she just didn't,
they didn't
engage
really meet,
with her.
Meet. Yeah,
she just
okay.
Was the server and she
Which
didn't really
fair.
Think to talk to her. So now she's formally introducing herself to
right,
her.
Right, gotcha.
Keeley asked May, is this your bar? And she says, for about 4 years. Then she said, what would you do if someone took it all away from you? And May says, once you climb to the top of the mountain, there's nothing left but lightning.
Yeah.
And Keeley's like, And then she says, is lightning a good thing or a bad thing? And she says, it depends on if you're ready for it.
Yeah, that's an interesting advice.
And one, quote. It's bringing back the idea of lightning, which has been a theme that we've heard this show before. But two, I thought it was interesting because it really can go both ways because she's saying like, once you climb to the top of the mountain, there's nothing left but lightning. So I guess it's like, only then do you have to protect yourselves from people who want to take away what you have. Or once you get to the top of the mountain, there's nothing left but lightning, meaning that if you've done that, you can do whatever you need to, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you could take it both ways. Mm-hmm. It is either a good thing or a bad thing.
Right. It depends if you're ready for it.
Depends if you're ready for it.
What I'm amazed at in this scene is I noticed that Keeley has about 5 piercings in her ear.
Oh, yes.
Insane.
Those are all Juno temples.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does have a lot of... I think she has some higher up on the cartilage, too. And I know she's... I'm sure once... She's had them forever.
No, I mean to get it pierced. Yeah. I know the higher you go, the more it hurts.
And I love the hoodie that she's wearing. She's wearing the same hoodie in a different print. Well, this is a print, and then the other one's like a solid purple.
Well, that's her look, though. Then.
Yeah. I like how they reuse clothes for several characters. Ted has worn that same. He had it on earlier, the sweatshirt with the little pocket. He has that in like 107 colors.
And he actually wears that out. Like, there's pictures of him not on the show wearing that.
Oh, yeah.
I think
he
was on today's show. No, not today's show. One of the shows, he had that on.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of the brand. It's like Tom Snyder or something. They're really nice. They're expensive. They're $100-something for the sweatshirt. But they do look really comfortable and really nicely made. Also in the montage, they cut to Nate. You see outside Nate's bedroom door, his mom puts down a plate of food. He takes it, he puts an old plate of food out and shuts the door again. So going back to Nate for a moment, he obviously has quit his job at West Ham.
Yes.
He's sulking in his room. His girlfriend Jade comes over. Very sweet interaction between him and Jade. I like...
Yeah, like normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like even when she said... When he said, am I an idiot? And she said, yeah, sometimes.
Right.
Like I think old Nate would have taken offense to that or been like taking it really personal. Like what?
Right.
And I think they have such a... Their relationship's starting to gel. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, this has been an interesting arc for Nate this season because, you know, we saw where he was thinking about apologizing to Ted, not doing it. We saw these moments where he was old Nate again and then back into... It's like he's playing a character when he's being mean Nate. I think that's what made me not hate him, like think that he is going to be on the right path. But other than him getting with Jay, we weren't really seeing much of him... you know, realizing what he had done wrong otherwise. And you weren't really sure what to make of Jade at first. She seems like she likes him.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think that conversation helped gel them. And then this episode has really helped move Nate forward.
Yes.
So then she's going out of town. She's going back to Poland to visit her family. She asks if he wants to go. He says no. She asks if he wants her to stay. He says no. So she leaves and he's hiding in bed for a day or so. Then sneaks out when the reporters are no longer in front of his house and breaks into his parents' house.
Apparently the middle of the night.
Yeah. Breaks into his parents' house because they moved the key and he's been hiding in his bedroom at home ever since. His mom is very excited that he's home. His dad is quite indifferent at the moment.
At the moment.
They cut to the guys at the club watching the Canada-Mexico game where Danny Rojas and Van Damme are playing against each other. And on the field, Danny kicks a ball. It goes right into Van Damme's nose, possibly breaks it. He's bleeding all over the place.
Yes.
And we saw earlier in the episode where once Danny knew that he was opponents now with Van Damme, he was no longer nice, Danny.
That's it. Yeah, they're opponents. That's it.
Yep. Someone on Twitter put, they had a picture of Danny like we're used to seeing him, and then a picture of Danny with the aviators from when he was on the plane. And one said Danny Rojas and one said Randy Dohas. And that made me laugh because it's like lead tasso.
Yeah, the lead tasso.
And there's a scene on the plane when he's already seated and Van Damme gets on. He has a little bag of Doritos and he's like, hey, Danny. Hey, hi. And he's like, you want a chip? And then Danny just takes the bag, crushes it, turns it over, dumps all the chips out on the ground. And then gives him back the bag.
Who's going to clean that up?
And then the poor people who work on the plane.
Ugh, that's unfortunate.
I know. It's the flight attendants. That's no fun for them. You hear one of the announcers say, he's a different fella in a Mexico shirt.
Mexico jersey. I know. Poor Van Damme. And you know Van Damme thought only, you know, that Danny was acting like that in the clubhouse. And when he met with him on the plane, he was probably going to be like, buddy, buddy again.
Right.
Not realizing that he's holding strong to that.
Yeah, he's taking a soccer ball to the face. Yeah,
exactly.
Now, we see Rebecca in her office. She's reading an article about Edwin Akufo on her laptop. Her phone dings with a text alert. She goes to reach in to pull it out.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, she pulls out the matchbook. And stuck inside the matchbook is a little green army man.
Yep.
And she sets them both down.
And kind of smiles and
smiles and looks at them.
Yeah.
Okay. Now.
All right. Here we go.
Either, once again, they're just trying to keep the predictions fresh in our head because Rebecca has completely forgotten about them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, I think now from this point, if we see Shite in Nining Armor come back in some sort of subtle way, then this is the first prediction.
Mm.
Because Tish says, I see something in your hand. Oh, it's so special. It's a matchbook. So she's just kind of like reciting the things that are in her hand.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I would say the Green Army Man is special.
Yes.
And we have not seen that Green Army Man since season one when she threw it on the floor and you saw it laying in her kitchen.
That's right. I remember that.
So my thought is that Mina came to clean and she picked it up. She probably figured it was one of Luca's toys, so she didn't want to throw it away. So she put it on the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, once Rebecca's heart turned warm for Ted,
she saw it. Okay.
Yeah. Now, do you think she carries it around in every purse or it's just in that purse?
I don't know. That's a good question. May she carry the matchbook and the army man around in every purse?
She changes purses a lot. The matchbook has gone with her
now. That's a good point, yeah.
To a few different. Now, again, I don't think it's any accident that she sets down the matchbook and the army man together and kind of smiles at them. Also goes along with her meeting Sam in the hallway, because I feel like they're trying to still have that in our head.
Yeah.
To have Sam like not too far back in our memory.
Yeah.
She looks at the phone and the text is from Rupert. He says that he really hopes she's going to go to the Akufo meeting. She looks at the little army man again and she kind of, you know, feels empowered, and then she texts back that she will be there.
She'll be there.
I was so excited to see the little Green Armory Man back, because that's been on my wish list.
Yeah.
Since the end of season one.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was hoping that somehow she still had it. We would see it somewhere pop up, even if it just, like, popped up on a windowsill or somewhere in the back. So I'm so happy that we saw that again.
Unlike Sharon, who, when Ted left her at the bar, yeah, and he had left her with the army man and the beer. Mm-hmm. And then May says, here, let me get you a beer without that shit in it or whatever. It's funny. But like Sharon, I maybe didn't keep the...
No, I don't man. Think... I think yeah,
that,
I
went,
think
I think that went in the trash at the Crown and Anchor.
I don't think it had the same sentimental value to
right.
her.
Right.
We see Rebecca at home. She's getting ready for the meeting. She's dressed. She's gorgeous, as usual, completely put together. She goes to look at herself in her full-length mirror in her closet. This is a badass bedroom.
It is. Ensuite. Cool.
I don't know if this is a set or if this is that actual house, but it's gorgeous.
Probably a set.
And when she looks at herself in the mirror, she kind of starts to get a little bit of a panic attack.
I know. I thought, oh God, she's having a heart attack or a panic attack. When I first saw it, I'm like, oh my God, a panic attack was more anxiety.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like maybe she's, you know, dealing with the same stuff that Ted's been dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
Coming to her. That's what I thought was happening here.
Oh, that totally is what's happening.
I know, but like she immediately recuperates from it.
Yes, because I think when we see Ted have that first panic attack, she kind of helps him through it. So you get the idea that she's seen this before and she understands, like she's to the point now where she can get herself through it.
Right.
Ted's now to the point where he can get himself through it, but he wasn't for a while. So I think this is probably what she does, like to try to stop it before it gets out of control.
Right, right. Yeah, she has a routine, or not a routine, but like a method.
Yeah.
When Ted probably couldn't handle it as well.
No, probably not in the beginning, but
yeah,
the
now.
Last one that he had, he seemed to pull himself
right.
out.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I will admit, for like a split second, I was like, do not tell me this bitch is nauseous and she really is pregnant with somebody's baby.
I know.
Because
I was like, oh, God.
There's been so many theories going around that she's pregnant with Sam's baby still, or she's still pregnant. And like now is to the point where it's been months for both of them.
I know. Yeah, we can't.
I mean, for
well,
Sam,
definitely
especially,
Sam. That ship has sailed.
Yeah,
people
that's
need to
like some
let
kind of
go.
Insane sperm that it just waits to get you pregnant. And then the other guy, as far as we know, she did not have sex with him.
Right.
So, but for just a split second, I was like, you're kidding me.
God.
And then I realized what was happening.
Oh, dear God.
And so she looks in the mirror and now her reflection is gone. And instead, it is a little tiny Rebecca with pigtails wearing a similar outfit.
Mm-hmm.
So
similar.
Cute. And this goes back to when they're trying to build Nate up at the office that time. And he's like, well, it's different for you because you command a room. And she's like, are you kidding me? She's like, every time I walk into a boardroom with a bunch of men, I feel like a little girl in pigtails again.
Mm.
And so there's the little girl in pigtails.
Yeah.
And so she does her making herself big.
And the little girl disappears.
And the little girl does it too. Yeah.
Right. She does it, but then.
Right. And then she's back.
It makes that thought go away. Yeah.
Yes. And she and that little girl inside her are ready for this meeting.
Yeah. It's cool.
When Rebecca gets to the meeting, much like she expected, she sees a sea of old men in the next room.
Old white dudes.
Yep. Old white dudes. Rupert comes in and he thanks her for coming. She says, how could I resist having the chance for a bunch of old men to speak directly to my chest?
Yeah, and then Rupert just loses it.
Yeah,
that's
he
the
thinks that's
thing
so
ever.
Funny. And that when he's talking to Rebecca, his new assistant comes in and says that he forgot his phone in the car. She hands it to him, and this is not Mrs. Cakes.
No.
This lady is a little shorter. She's got bangs. We have never seen her before. And then she says, oh, and your fecalus emailed your results. Two big thumbs up.
I don't, for some reason, I didn't catch that until the second time I watched it.
And didn't Zava have a fecalus also?
Oh, I don't remember. But that just made me laugh because it's almost like, I mean, I say an old person thing, but it's just funny. Your fecalus.
Yeah.
But apparently Miss Bread doesn't know any boundaries.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, no, but we're going to talk about the fecalist right here in front of this person I don't know. Or I think she knows her because she seems, either that or she just always smiles like her. That, like she's excited.
I think she's just very excited.
That's what I mean. She knows of her because she seemed excited to meet her. Or Miss Bread's insane. I don't know.
Are we all supposed to have a fecalist?
I don't have one. Is that?
I don't know. No.
Is that the same person?
Person who's going to do a colonoscopy?
That's what different? I was about to say, but I didn't want to sound ignorant.
So Rebecca notices that this is not Mrs. Cakes, and she's like, oh, and they introduce each other. He says, this is my new assistant, Mrs. Bread, which mm-hmm. I think is funny because her name is Bread and the other lady was Cakes.
Cakes, I know.
You know, it was Cakes with a K. So she's like, oh, nice to meet you. And then she asks, what happened to your other assistant? Now we know that Rebecca saw Rupert kissing on the other assistant, so I guess we're to believe that Bex found out.
Something went down.
Something
we don't
happened.
Know what she said, he just says, oh, dramatic. Meanwhile, like he
dramatic.
Didn't like he didn't cause the drama,
right?
Come on.
So I have a feeling we're gonna find out more as to why exactly Rupert has a new assistant. They go inside. And this time, Rupert introduces Rebecca as Rebecca Welton, owner of AFC Richmond.
Yeah.
Unlike when he introduced her to Zava and said, my ex-wife, Rebecca Welton.
Right.
She seems a little surprised by that. But then she gets a good zinger in by saying, it's been my title since we got divorced and I took the only thing he ever loved.
That's great. I mean, there's so many zingers in that one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing he ever loved, basically saying, well, he never loved me as much as he loved the team.
Right.
Or anybody except this team. It's just funny.
Yep. Except himself.
And then she's just saying, I took it.
Right. It's mine now.
Yeah, it was great.
I like when Edwin comes over. This is the one moment where Edwin is likable. He comes over and says to her, it's nice to see you. It's good. Nice to be not the only minority in the room.
Yeah, that was great.
So he says, before we can sit down and talk business, we need to eat. Because his father said that you should never talk business on an empty stomach.
Yes.
So a bunch of...
And all of a sudden, all these people, he snaps his finger and all these people walk in with food.
Servers come out with Ghanaian food, right?
And hot dogs.
That's what it is? Yes, and Chicago-style hot dogs. Because he likes them.
Well, what he says is, I'm sorry,
uh-huh.
which is great. He says something about... And I'm going to mess it up, but it's something about... Chicago-style hot dogs, because it's what Scottie Pippen, Obama, and Ferris Bueller eat. Now, the funny thing about that is Ferris Bueller's a fictional character. I mean, I know he ate them in the movie when they went to the baseball game, but it's just so funny to me. And Scottie Pippen's a basketball player. He had no idea who that was. He was part of the Bulls, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen era.
Oh, okay.
Era.
Got
so,
it.
But yeah, so Scottie, apparently, according to him, Scottie Pippen... Barack Obama and Ferris Bueller all love Chicago-style hot dogs.
And that's why he loves them.
Yep. That made me laugh.
So after they're done eating, he's about to talk business, but first he kicks the Russian man out of the room.
I know. The whole Russia thing, doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good right now. But did he invite him there just so he could kick him out before they talked business? Or did someone else invite him like Rebecca was invited?
Who knows? That's weird. I don't know. That's a good question because... What would he be doing there? Because I'm assuming it's based on the Ukrainian war, right?
Yeah,
Russia.
Well, yeah.
So that's
Donald
been going
Trump
on for a while. So it's not like
that.
He invited them and then the war happened.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Right. No, right.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just another reason for people to say that Ted Lasso is woke because it's being political.
Well,
yeah, but Ted Lasso has always been political.
The funny thing is he can't get out, which is hilarious.
Yes. God, I love Sam Richardson so much. He's so funny, and I want to watch... I've only seen a few other things with him besides this show. But yeah, the whole time when he's doing that, you have to pull.
Okay.
No.
All right.
He's getting so aggravated.
You're pushing.
So his plan is to create a super league of the best of the best. And he says it's going to cost fans a bit more, and some may not be able to afford it. But those who can will see the cream of the crop. Each matchup, a clash of titans. Each game, an undry dream.
Yeah.
That made me laugh.
I know. It's a very nice way of saying it.
Yes. And he says, you know, he convinces them that they can accomplish this because at first people were against automobiles. Most people rode horses, but then eventually he says that they'll embrace it.
I guess that's true. I didn't really know that.
Well, yeah, I've always heard that if you were rich back in the day, you drove a car and you didn't ride a horse. Now you're rich if you ride a horse because horses are really expensive.
That's a good point.
But he does say that, like, first fans are going to protest. They're going to whine. They may make up mean-spirited but admittedly clever parody songs and sing them outside businesses we own.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
But in time, he said they will come to embrace it, much like we've embraced the automobile, the smartphone, and the squatty potty.
Yeah, the squatty potty. That's great.
The look on Rebecca's face, too, when he says squatty potty, she's like, oh, really?
Yeah. I wonder if Rebecca knows what a squatty potty is.
She's going to have to go home and ask Keely, because Keely definitely knows.
How come Keely knows?
I don't know, because Keely just knows that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I feel like if you have children, you know what the squatty potty is.
Oh, that's true. But it's not really for kids.
I think it is. I mean, partially, they sell them.
Yeah.
Marketed towards kids, some of them. Yeah, you're right. I guess at anybody. It's anybody. Like, you're right.
I think what
you're
happened was it was that little step that was around the potty for kids to get up there. And then people were like, oh, when I also put my feet on this thing, I can poop better. And then the squatty potty was born.
Yeah, I just think a lot of people got them for kids so the kids could just put their feet at a normal
height
level. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Too much about the squatty potty.
I've always been intrigued by the squatty potty, but I don't think I could do it. I think I would feel awkward.
Yeah.
So he says that the Ekufu League is the future of football, and the future is now. Right then, Keely finally texts Rebecca back. And the text says, sorry, I haven't texted, but you've got this. Just remember, at one time, they were all little boys.
Which is great.
Yes. So now starts a beautiful montage. First, we start off with Nate at his parents' house.
Yeah, this was really neat.
And he is going around his house. He goes into a closet. He pulls out like a hat with scarves in it because...
Magic.
Yeah, no surprise. Nate did magic as a kid. Pulls out a photo album with a bunch of adorable photos that I'm guessing some are of Nick Muhammad. Then goes up into the attic and finds a violin. So I waited to tell you this because you didn't want to know until now. Nick Muhammad posted yesterday that is his violin from when he was a child.
Okay.
He is actually playing it.
Okay, that's what I thought. It looked like it, and I wondered if he really played.
And the person playing piano is his wife in real life.
Oh.
And the song, which I think it's like Spiegel and Spiegel. It basically means like mirror to mirror.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and just it's a really beautiful way to incorporate Nick Muhammad's history and childhood into this. Like, you can just tell that this show is so personal to everybody who works on it.
Mm-hmm.
Even the stories we've heard where James Lance came up to Jason and was like discussing what he thought Trent Crim's backstory was, and then they incorporated it. Like, I just like that it does seem like a very personal show to people.
Yeah, and this whole scene coming up, I mean, the way they did it.
Yeah.
Him playing the song and then Rebecca, you know. I mean, I know we're going to get to it. I'm just saying this show does this so much. These kind of montages where things are going on and another, you know, the music is, I don't know, it's just incredible. Yeah. Or someone's speaking and then they're cutting around to other.
Yeah, because I'll go through what she's saying and like they're touching on different people as she's saying different things about football, which I think is really beautiful.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And I don't tear up very easily at TV. This one I was getting a bit, this part I was getting a bit teary.
Mm-hmm.
And last night when I was doing the notes for this episode, I was watching it again. And I just was like, God damn, this show is so good. There are just times where
this
show.
Got me this afternoon when I was rewatching. So,
really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he then gets out the violin and starts playing. We go back to the office and the violin's still playing in the background. All of the men are in. They think this is a great idea. Someone asked Rebecca what she thinks. And all of a sudden she says, is this a fucking joke?
Yeah, that's incredible.
Which is exactly what Trent Klim... Klim, why Klim. Can't I talk?
Trent Klim.
Trent Krim says in the pilot episode.
Oh.
His first question, do you have a question? Yes. Is this a fucking joke about Ted Lasso?
Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
So it's another one of those lines that they use. So now Rebecca.
Yeah, that's great.
Suddenly sees all of them as little boys, just like Keeley said they were at one time.
And it also works because when she saw her reflection, she was a little girl. Mm-hmm. Then she became a big, you know, whatever. What did she call that?
She makes herself big.
Makes herself big. And then, so then when she saw them as little boys there, she's making herself big. And I know people know that already, but I thought that was incredibly done.
And she even starts talking to them like little boys.
I know.
Stop
it.
Yes. And it's like, it's also kind of talking to the entitled children from Willy Wonka, yeah, exactly. Which is basically what these grown men are.
Yeah, except these grown men will live by the end of this.
She says, why would you ever consider taking something away from people that means so much to them? This isn't a game. Football isn't just a game.
Yeah.
And she says, it's one of those amazing things in life that can make you feel like shit one moment and then like Christmas morning the next. And they show the guys back at the football club. Now they're watching England, where Jamie is playing. Mm. And Jamie's getting... traded into the game, I guess.
Yeah, he's going in.
Yeah, and you see when he takes off his like vest thing that he's wearing number 24, which is Sam's number. So he's wearing 24 to honor Sam.
Yeah, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, so sweet, and they recognize it too. The commentators on the game say something.
And if you notice, another side note is when they say we have a substitution, Roy stops what he's doing, immediately looks up to see if it's going to be Jamie.
Oh,
his little bestie.
His bestie, yep.
Yeah, BFFs. He looks up like right away.
And she says it has the ability to make heroes and villains out of ordinary men. Mm-hmm. And they show Roy starting a letter to Keeley.
Yeah, that's great.
Because I'll go back a little bit. Earlier in the episode, Roy wore his brightly colored tie-dye Roy shirt. He goes to Phoebe's school to drop her off or pick her up or something, and he runs into Mrs. Bowen. She's the teacher that we saw in the second season.
Right.
She says hi to him. They start talking. We find out that her first name is Leanne, and Leanne Bowen is a producer on this show. So
okay.
I love that. And... they start talking. She's like, you know what? You seem lighter. You know, you seemed much darker and heavier last time. Not physically heavier, but you know what I mean, last time. And he's like, well, wait a minute. When you were flirting with me, and she's like, yeah, I'm a teacher. I don't mind a mess.
Cleaning up a mess. Yeah.
And so then she says, I just hope none of that darkness did too much damage.
And
suddenly he kind of has this light bulb moment where he realizes it did do too much damage. Mm-hmm. Maybe did the worst damage. So he is like, I gotta go, and runs off. And she's like, oh, good job. She's all making fun of herself.
Yeah. Way to go.
Yeah, good. Nice work. So he runs off, and he then goes and buys stationery. And then tries to write Keeley a letter in his very poor handwriting. So we see him starting the letter off with Keeley. Mm-hmm. And there's always like already a pile of papers that he has...
crumpled
up. They also go to Nate, who is now playing the violin in his bedroom. Still, that's the music we hear in the background. I feel like this is something that you can relate to because you've always loved sports. And it's like what you talk about with your dad... It's usually how you make friends when you first meet other guys.
Yeah.
I have zero affection for sports at all. I've never followed one. But I feel like this still is emotional because it can be said for a lot of other things. Like, you know, Disney has gotten so expensive over the years, so many people can't afford it. Even concerts, the prices
concerts have gone ridiculous.
Theater. Movies, like a lot of the things that young kids can be exposed to, for some families, it's just not an option anymore.
No, that's a great point.
And that's what they're saying. You know, in sports, I think the prices have gone up quite a bit, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could still, for a baseball game, you could probably get a $25, $35 ticket, but you're going to be in nosebleeds way up.
Right.
I mean, you want to go sit behind home plate? It's $1,000. I mean, it's insane. And NFL, forget it. That's outrageous too. I mean, not, you know.
Yeah. So Rebecca's basically saying, you know, you guys don't need to make that much more money to make this even less attainable for families.
It's a great point.
And she says, people love this game. My father loved this game. You all used to love this game. And then she tells a story about a little boy she knew from Richmond. And he loved football so much, he used to sneak into the matches because his family couldn't afford it. One afternoon, he got caught and the security guard smacked him to the ground. And he stood up, smiled, kicked the security guard in the bollocks, and ran away. And he didn't come back until 25 years later when he walked in and bought the entire club.
Yeah, which is great.
And you know she's talking about Rupert because tell by the look on Rupert's face.
The shots and, obviously. Mm. Yeah.
I think the most striking thing about this part right here is you realize... You, like, feel the love that Rebecca had for Rupert.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very intimate story that you know he probably told her at some point when their marriage or relationship was in better standing. And it's something that she remembered and she was really fond of. And I think if he hadn't been such a cock, he probably could have kept her forever. Because I
know. Well, yeah.
Because she loved him.
And you can tell that he has, you know, he's looking at her and I think he's finding her attractive at that moment. Like...
Yeah.
Wow, this is, you know what I mean? Like, well, not attractive, but like that.
He's feeling
what he had with her before, nostalgia or whatever it is, that whatever he had before is rushing back in that moment, I think.
But I also think that Rupert's not capable of real love, I don't think. But in his own way, I think he did love her.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want her to leave. He just wanted to be able to do whatever the hell he wanted to do and have control and have her just be there.
Right.
Because he has fought just as hard against her in the last two seasons. Like, everything he does, I think, is despite her. He had a baby with some woman, I think, despite her.
I know, right. Now he has a baby.
Yeah.
The rest of his life, which isn't going to be that long. No, I mean, I'm sorry. I mean it in comparison to having a baby.
Right. Because Rupert's...
I mean, Rebecca even says that.
Nearly 70, she says. So when that
pile
kid's 20...
Pile of dust and Amex black card.
And she says that when Rupert bought the club, he went up to the security guard who hit him in the face and gave him a raise without any explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca tells him that just because they own the teams doesn't mean they belong to us. Which is very similar to what Ted said at the Crown and Anchor after he invited... Baz, Paul, and Jeremy to watch training. Beard was like, are you sure that's a good idea? And he's like, you know, it's really not our team. We're just borrowing it for a little while.
Right. Yeah, it's a good point.
And she says that she doesn't want to be part of something that could possibly destroy this beautiful game. She would hate for kids and grownups to lose access to that beautiful, passionate part of themselves. So Khufu, when she's done, is like, that was a very sweet story. Now, who wants to make money?
All right, enough. Enough of your little story.
But the next thing we see is him angrily leaving the room and Francis following him, his assistant. And Francis is shaking food off of his hands. And the reason why is because they are all covered in Ghanaian food.
Which means...
And Chicago-style
And Chicago-style hot dogs. With that are 85%
horse meat.
Oh, yes,
he dropped that one earlier, too.
So... I know, and it's crazy, like, the fact that all those men, she swayed all those men to understand, like, brought them all back down to earth and said, hey, this is the love of the game. Forget about your money for once. You know what I mean? Because that's all these guys want to do is make money.
Yep.
And, that's pretty incredible.
I love how she and Rupert think it is hilarious, and no one else is laughing.
I know, they're all pissed off that there's food all
there's
over them.
There's food everywhere. I would love to see some behind-the-scene photos of how they did that scene.
I know. It must be incredible.
So when we go back to Nathan, he gets startled when his father walks in. And this is a really nice conversation between Nathan and his dad, where he basically takes responsibility for being too hard on him his whole life. He tells him, you know, he now knows that his approach was wrong, even though at the time he thought he was doing the right thing because Nate had all these opportunities that he never had, and he really wanted to make sure that he would be the best at it.
Yep. Yeah.
I know. I mean, it's incredible, this scene, because it's like, you know, he was like that with Nate, even all the way up until, you know, the show starts.
Yeah, this is during really the show. The first time we've seen the dad have any kind of emotion. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, I mean, obviously, if this was real life, this would not be the happy ending here. Like, there definitely is still work to be done between relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And on Nate, but it just kind of shows you the power of what an apology can do. And even just taking responsibility for mm-hmm. what you have done, and that what you have done has hurt someone.
Right.
I especially think that's true with parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Like saying that you apologize or take responsibility for stuff. Because we all have like those little things from our childhood that we're like, I'm never going to do that with my kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then you work so hard not to do those little things with your kid. But you end up wounding them in another way that you didn't even realize, you know, because we're all just like trying to do the best that we can with the tools that we have.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I just think it's sweet that he is coming in here and saying, you know, like, I was doing my best and I'm sure I screwed up. And I'm sure once Nate and Jade have kids, they're going to do other mistakes that their kids someday will be like, I'm never doing that with my kids. And the cycle goes on. And hopefully if it's a healthy enough relationship and household, they're small wounds and not enormous ones.
Yeah.
And then Nate actually takes this advice and breaks into the club, goes and does Will's job for him, just like the scene when Nate gets to work thinking that he's been fired because
everything's done. And there's a new kit man.
Right.
There.
And instead he was promoted. And I was like, are they going to promote Will? He's never even tried to...
He hasn't shown any interest.
Given a play option.
Unfortunately, I think Will's just a kit man.
Aw. He'll do something.
Maybe.
And he gives him a note that says, I'm sorry, with a little sprig of lavender on the card, which is back to when he was all angry because the towel smelled like lavender.
Right.
Like Ted's Nana's house.
Right.
Back in the meeting room, all the men are leaving. They're pretty angry.
Yeah, you think? They have food all over there. Probably very expensive suits. I bet you
yes,
all their
true.
Suits are very expensive.
Rebecca's dabbing at her chin as if she doesn't have a glob of food on her cheek.
Right,
like, I don't
like
know
she's
what
gonna
she's
get that taken care of.
Yeah. And then she just puts the mirror away. Like, that's good. My chin's clean. Put that away. And one guy that's left is like, I remember the last time I saw the two of you alone in a room together. It was right after your wedding and you really wanted me to leave.
Yeah, I guess they had it out in that room.
I guess so. Bringing back again, reminiscing to a time when they were happy. And Rupert comes up to her and says, you know, this reminds me of when we snuck into the Richmond game together. And she was like, yeah, but you were the owner, so the stakes weren't quite as high.
Right.
And she has a little bit of food in her hair, so he reaches over and takes it out, and they kind of laugh. And then he full-on goes in for a kiss.
Oh, come on, Rupert.
Yeah. She shuts him down fast, too. Yeah.
I mean, I got a little nervous. Only a little.
You realized she was going to actually kiss him? Yeah. I know. I think it happened so fast for me, I didn't have enough time to process it until it was over.
I was like, oh, God, no. I think I even said that.
And she just kind of gives him this, like, sad shake of her head. Like, she feels bad for him.
Yeah, it's so good.
It is. And he truly looks wounded. Like, he really, I think he thought that she was going to go for it. And you can tell Rebecca's just thinking, like, he's never going to change.
I know. And even though she was so reminiscent of their, you know, their relationship and stuff here, it quickly came right back down to earth, you
right.
know? And honestly, this whole scene, this whole episode really made Rupert look pretty pathetic.
Yeah.
For the first time. Mm-hmm. And not like he had the upper hand. You know what I mean? He always has the upper hand. Like, the zinger, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, and it's really, I mean, over the last couple episodes, but this one really showed that he doesn't have that anymore. Or, you know what I mean? Rebecca has the upper hand now.
And she said, like, what Rupert gets whatever he wants.
Right.
And he didn't hear.
Right.
And she even convinced him to get out of the Akufu money.
Right.
So he really didn't get anything.
Right. He got nothing out of this.
That he wanted here.
Because at first, for Rupert, it was all about money. Like, he had to get Rebecca there because he wanted her. You know, more players, right. The merrier, and we can make a lot of money, kind of a thing.
I love how Rebecca doesn't change her clothes, doesn't go anywhere. She goes straight to Keeley's house.
Yeah, you know, F it at this point.
Wearing
kind of
whatever
day she's had.
Her face does look cleaned up, though. Like, at some point, she got the mirror back out and a wet wipe and fixed her face a bit more. But she opens the door, and Keeley goes, "Oh, my God, have you been shot?"
No, funny.
And she's like, "No, I just convinced all of Rupert's dickhead friends to pull out of the Akufu League." And Keeley doesn't know that that's a good thing. And she's like, "Oh, no." And she's like, no, it's a good thing. Hug me. And you know they're good friends because she does hug her, even with all the stuff all over her that she still doesn't know what it is.
Right. It's a good point.
And then Rebecca's like, "Wait a minute. Now that I know that you're alive, I'm kind of pissed off at you because where have you been?" And they cut to them now sitting on Keeley's couch. I think this is the first time Rebecca's been to Keeley. Well, that we've seen Rebecca in Keeley's house. And she says, "You know, they just pulled your funding." And she's like, "Yes." And she's like, "Well, why didn't you tell me?" And she's like, "Well, I couldn't find the right time or the right way."
Yeah.
"And I didn't want to."
Yeah.
It's sad because, you know, Keeley was just embarrassed.
Yeah.
And like, Rebecca was so excited for her to go on this like new adventure and stuff on her own. And she just probably felt like she couldn't do it. Although she could. She just needs a little better judgment next time on employees and boss relations. So then Rebecca's like, "Well, how much money were they putting in?" And she's like, "Nope, not letting you do that. It's a lot of money." And Rebecca's like, just tell me. Mm. So she writes it down on a post-it note.
I love that.
I know. This is how they do it in the movies.
She's like, "What are you doing?" Like, this is how they do it in the movies.
And she looks at it and she's like, "Are you joking?" She's like, "I told you." And then Rebecca says that she thinks she has that much money on her in cash.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So she's like, "Yes." And Keeley's saying no. And then finally Keeley says, "Thank you." She gives Rebecca a big hug. And Rebecca says, "Rupert tried to kiss me."
Yeah.
And she was like, "What?" And she asks, "Did your lips touch?"
I know.
She says, "No, I pulled back straight away."
Straight away.
And she says to Keeley, like, "I just looked at him and it made it all so clear."
Yeah.
Like, I think she realized I'm actually over this guy. And then Keeley's like, "That's great. This is huge." And then she says, "Geez, can you imagine if you fell for it and you got back with Rupert?
Yeah.
After all that floppy cock has done?"
I know.
"You'd have to be insane. You'd have to be at the bottom of your emotional barrel."
Meanwhile,
Roy comes walking out of the back
in a pink robe.
And Keeley can't see him because Rebecca's facing him. I was waiting for Keeley to be like, "He's standing behind me, isn't he?"
Yeah, she looks back like, "Oh."
Yeah. I hope that's not foreshadowing, though, because I am very happy that these two are together. And Keeley wasn't a bad place this day, but.
Right. But you remember all that Rebecca did for Keeley. Yelling at Roy. And,
yes.
You know what I mean? And like protecting her. And then she's just back with him.
Right.
Which I'm sure she knows it's right. You could tell by the look on Rebecca's
face. Oh, totally. That. And Roy cannot be compared to Rupert at all. Like, Roy's going through something and made a bad decision. But he would never cheated on Keeley or treated her that poorly. Going back a bit, we saw Roy go to Keeley's house. He had the letter they had finally finished reading. He gives it to her.
Writing.
She's like, "I can't." Thank you. Finally finished writing. He gives it to her. She's like, "I still can't read your handwriting."
Which is hilarious.
So he starts reading it to her. And it's basically this very heartfelt letter about how she did nothing wrong. She's Keeley fucking Jones.
Yeah.
And that, you know, she's the best thing that's ever happened to him. And he just wanted to apologize for hurting her. And then you see him walk away and you think she's going to stay where she is, but she just makes like a little move forward.
Yeah.
And as soon as she did that, we were both like, "Oh."
Yeah, I know. It's like barely. Yeah. And then it's like, what's going to happen? And then you kind of knew.
Yeah. I'm surprised. One, I'm surprised that they got them back together like that. Like,
no, we're running
out
of time here.
We are running out of time. And we do need to wrap up some storylines. I'm hoping that they stay together. I wouldn't have been surprised if Keeley ended up without anyone, just because I'm not sure what their plans are still for a spinoff, and I don't know how many people would really be involved in it. So, but I was very happy to see that they're back together. I also think that now we've had Roy saw Miss Bowen, and
right,
having that conversation with her kind of sparked something. We saw Rebecca have that run-in with Rupert.
Right.
That sparked something. So I wonder if we're going to see Ted have some kind of conversation with someone from his past in one way or another, Michelle, maybe other, that's going to spark something.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
This next shot of Rebecca really mirrors the very first time we saw Rebecca at all. She's standing in that same spot. She's mm-hmm. staring at the Hockney. She looks angry and upset.
Yeah, and she's, the first time.
Yeah, and she's getting rid of it. And now she looks happy. She looks softer. She's wearing clothes that Rebecca normally doesn't wear to the office. Not yeah. quite as like form-fitting. Mm-hmm. And she's placing the Hockney back up on the wall.
Yeah.
So she never actually got rid of it.
No.
And the thing I think is cool is like before she probably wanted to get rid of it because she had no emotional ties to football. She was there just to screw Rupert. But now she's putting it back up because it's supposed to be a man playing football. She has her own ties to football now. So she does feel...
Right.
And I feel like she's free of Rupert, so it's not going to remind her so much of Rupert every time.
Right.
So she puts it back up.
Yeah, no, that's good.
And I also think, like, you know how the first season started on her and it ended on her? But now this almost is like a complete wrap, I feel like, from her first shot to this shot. Not that she's not going to be on the show anymore, but, you know, like, her healing has mm-hmm. happened, which I think is cool. So I'll be interested to see if we get a shot of Nate that kind of mirrors a bit of Nate's full arc mm-hmm. also from the first time we see that close up on his face.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And then the third one is going to be Ted, obviously, because we opened up on his face. So we'll close on his face. So Ted comes in. And,
with the biscuits.
Yep, he's got biscuits. Time for biscuits. And he sees the picture up, and he's like, "Oh, that's cool. Did you draw that?"
Did you draw that?
And she says, "No, Ted, that's a David Hockney." And he's like, "Well, he's a talented little boy."
Yeah. Meanwhile, it's a drawing that's worth, what did they say, like £1 million?
Yes, £1 million. But, I mean, I know I'm not very cultured in the arts, but I don't see that. When I look at that picture,
don't see what
it being worth £1 million either. No, like, I'm kind of with Ted. It looks like a child.
Sometimes some artists get recognition and then everything they ever made is worth millions, even.
I'm sure there's reasons, there's lighting and lines and stuff that I don't know anything about, but I'm kind of with you, Ted. So they sit down on her couch and mm-hmm. she tells him that she wants to share something with him, something that she's realized recently. And he says, "How it's weird that margarita pizza doesn't have alcohol."
Like, where does he come up with this stuff?
And he says, "I'm with you, sister." And she's like, "No.
No. No, Ted."
"I realize that I no longer care if I beat Rupert." She still wants to win, but now right. she wants to win for all of them. For
the team, not yep. for because she wants to beat Rupert.
And he tells her, "I want to win for us, too." And then she takes a sip of tea and spits it all over his face.
I know. Familiar? We've seen this before.
Yep, we have. This is the end of season one where he accidentally spits in her face. And she says, "You know, it feels ceremonial yep. at this point."
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It's incredible.
And she also brought that up at the beginning of the season as well to Ted. He didn't remember doing it. And she reminded him of it.
Yeah, right. Because the passion or whatever.
Yes, I wanted
or no, when
passion.
You said last year... You want to win the whole fucking thing.
Yeah. Right. And then Ted's like, "You know, as long as none of that tree piss gets in my mouth, I'm actually okay with it."
Really hates tea.
And that's the end of the episode. Wow. So I was thinking we kind of have a wrap on Roy and Keeley a bit.
Right.
Rebecca, not all the way, but feel like she's mended unless she comes back a mess in the next episode, which who knows because it could happen on this show. Colin, I feel like is wrapped up.
Yeah.
The Colin and Isaac storyline.
Yeah.
Sam, I think still maybe needs to be dealt with because the restaurant, I don't know what's going on with it because it's kind of up in the air now whether or not it's going to be successful because Edwin Akufu has a death wish on him.
Yeah, if he's, I mean, if he really is indeed opening a restaurant.
That's true.
Who knows?
But he did keep him out of the Nigerian League.
Right. But, I mean, right, that's true. Yeah, I guess he's willing to do anything to screw him over.
Yeah, I just wonder if we'll see more of that. We probably still need to see Shandy Zava in some capacity.
What happened to Shandy? That, I think she's coming back with a vengeance. Yeah, something is going to be...
I hope not. And I hope know, but Jack's
I
feel like... Gone.
I guess, but there's not a lot left, so who knows?
So yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how many storylines we still have to wrap up in the next two episodes.
I know, crazy.
With obviously a major focus being on Ted, because we have to wrap up his storyline.
Leaving or whatever's happening.
He did barely
happening.
Anything in this episode.
I know.
All right, what did we learn about Ted? I just had a joke one because he barely was in it again.
Right.
And it was just that he doesn't like gossip, but he does like his butt scuttled.
No, he does. Whatever that means, yes.
He likes
He's
it.
Not good at girl talk, right?
Right. Well, and Ted good. Learned that about himself, I think, from Rebecca.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But,
well, yeah,
but
I
maybe
guess
he
we
already
learned
knew.
It, but
yeah.
At the same time, we learned it.
Yeah. He's no good at girl talk. He doesn't like to gossip. Mm-hmm. And he also doesn't want to participate in any of the bad karma, because like when Beard wanted him... Which we already knew that too. But when Beard wants him to go throw axes at Nathan's crotch, Nathan's. He says no.
Yeah, I know. He's like, yeah, and then he even brings it up. Like, don't you think?
Yeah, don't you think that that's not good karma right. to celebrate someone else's bad karma? What do we learn about Rebecca?
That she really came, I don't know how to say it. She...
Into her own? Or?
I guess she had that realization that like Rupert is officially out of her life.
Yep.
Rupert is not renting space on her head and free in her head anymore.
No.
And yeah, we definitely learned that. And we definitely learned that she's got the power. I mean, when she went in that meeting and convinced all those guys and turned them into basically little boys and realized that the love of the game they had from when they were kids.
Yeah, and I think I learned a bit more about how much Rebecca really does have a fondness for football on her own. You know, like,
right.
she grew up with it. It was her dad's favorite team.
Of course.
Also, so I think that was interesting. And I think also just realizing how much she did love Rupert.
Yeah, and what they had together for that period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one that completely screwed that up. He could have had a family with her. And she would have stayed with him forever because she did really love him. And what did Rebecca learn? That she's over Rupert.
Yes.
Which is nice. I'm sure she learned that Ghanaian food may sting a little bit if it gets in your eye.
Yeah, probably learned that too. Yeah. She learned that that outfit's ruined, so whatever that costs.
She's had a tough time with clothes this year.
Oh my gosh, yes. Falling in the creeks
and canals, and getting food
thrown on her.
Yep. And then Keely with her crying on her shoulder with her
mascara. With the mascara. That's right.
Yep. Her dry cleaning bill has been expensive this year. What did Ted learn? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Again, he wasn't around much.
Again, he learned he is no good at girl talk. Yeah, he wasn't around much.
Okay. Do you think they're any more aware of each other?
Yeah, a little bit. I think that ending
the looks that he was kind of giving her in that scene, I can never tell exactly what his face looks like.
I know.
Because he always just looks like he thinks she's the best thing in the entire world all the time, you know, but you can't tell if that's just like Ted or if he's feeling anything different.
Right.
But I was thinking that later he's going to think about her spitting tea in his face and have some guilt about how he feels about that. Yeah. But I don't think he's ready. We're ready yet for that. But yeah, I mean, I think, and again, I feel like this is going to come out of the blue and Rebecca's going to be smacked across the face when she realizes that she has actually fallen in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
But just seeing her in that pink and the relaxed and stuff, I think she's ready. Maybe she's ready for, what did May say? you have to be ready for the lightning, or
lightning
you're not.
On your top of the hill, yeah.
So maybe now she's ready for the lightning.
Top of the mountain, yep. Ready for the lightning. All right.
But I do think that they're setting the stuff up with Sam to kind of leave that open for right now to not... You know, I think they're just teasing the audience with that. I do not think that anything's going to happen with Sam and Rebecca, but...
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I feel like they're purposely leaving that little awkward conversation in the hallway open and, like, her putting the matchbook next to the Green Army Man. So we'll see. We have two... What do I say every week? We have two episodes left. 2 hours. You can do a lot in 2 hours.
Yeah, you can.
And I'm still hoping that the last episode might be, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah, that's true. It could be a big one. The last two could be long.
Yeah. This one was 64 minutes. So that'd be awesome if the last two were over an hour. Except it's great when you're watching it. It's not great when you're podcasting.
Yeah, but podcast. Yeah, stress watching.
Again. All right, start reading those reviews, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's get to it. Let's get to it. All right. So the first review that we have is... And I'm going to, hang on, I got to make this bigger because my eyes, you know my eyes.
Does have his glasses on though.
Yeah, I do.
Wait, do you want to read the long one or do you want me to read that one and you read one of the shorter ones?
Why, you don't think I can handle it?
I think you can. I just don't know if you want to.
Well, the long one, so the name is in the right-hand corner there, right? That's Mecky. Would you say that's the name?
Meckel? Yeah, it's Meckel? Okay. You don't have to say their names because I don't always say the names. Sorry. It's fine.
Well, this one is 5 stars, one of the best after a podcast podcast, which is great. I love this podcast. My go-to Ted Lasso podcast is Peanut Butter and Biscuits. After listening to that show, I listened to their Soulmates. That may sound like a criticism, but it is not. If you're looking for an in-depth discussion of the two main characters, Ted and Rebecca, then this is your show. The hosts do discuss other characters, but the focus is on Ted and Rebecca. And how they are soulmates. What I look for in a podcast is a subject I care about and the funny, sincere, and interesting hosts. Their Soulmates hits these points for me.
Aww.
Yeah, that's so nice. The hosts are adorable married couple, that started as friends. Wow, she or he is really paying attention.
Yeah, listen to all of it.
Wow. Their hope is that Ted and Rebecca end up together. If you are new to Their Soulmates, I recommend starting from the beginning. It is likely that this is the last season of Ted Lasso, which is sad, but I look forward to the next podcast Tori and Kevin host. On a side note, for Tori and Kevin, first, I enjoy the bits we get to hear about your personal life. It is the perfect amount. Second, even if Ted and Rebecca don't end up together, that doesn't mean they aren't soulmates.
Right.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. They are soulmates. Third, keep up the good work. Thank you for a great job.
Thank you.
Why they could or couldn't be together.
I don't know if that was like supposed to be on
like
the bottom
an edit.
There.
I was like, I just keep reading. That's like an insane person. Oh my God.
That was very nice. And I have bad news though. We will not be doing another podcast.
Yeah, no, that's it.
Although we do need to finish our Who's the Boss podcast.
Yeah, we have a Who's the Boss podcast that's in the middle.
If for some reason you also like that show, come join us.
Go listen to that. It's fun.
But don't start at the beginning because we were really bad. Okay. I'm going to read this one. It's BFFs. It's 4 stars. I found this podcast after hearing about it from another Ted Lasso podcast. Thank you, any other Ted Lasso podcast.
Yeah.
Is that our name? I think it's probably Peanut Butter and Biscuits. I think Ted and Rebecca are soulmates, but may still not end up in a romantic relationship. I've accepted that they are BFFs. Regardless, I really enjoy the focus this podcast has on Ted and Rebecca's interactions in each episode and their growth. Please keep sharing about your personal experiences. It makes the discussion even more interesting.
What I love is it's 4 stars, and I think it's because they don't think they're going to end up together. They just think
maybe
they're soulmates, so you got to give it 4 stars.
That's all right. I'll take it.
I will too, and I'm just saying there's got to be a reason for one less star.
It's a solid, solid critique
it
there.
It is.
And I hope you enjoyed our personal anecdote about Andy's ice cream and milk bar biscuits.
Oh, yeah. The next one is, I'm 90...
Oh, you got all the long ones. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm 95% confident you are 1,000% right. I like that.
I like those odds, yeah.
Yeah. The last few episodes are giving me pause on how they can pull this off in the next 3 episodes. But I believe... It is the belief that kills you. Or is it the belief that kills you? Sorry, it's a question. Like others, I was looking for a show that would help break down all the rom-com Ted-Rebecca connections that I see each week, but that others seem unwilling to acknowledge. I'm not a Ted-Becca shipper, at least I don't think I am, in parentheses. But it has seemed obvious that this is where the show is going, at least in the first two seasons and a few interactions slash green matchbooks in this one. But if it doesn't work out, please do not burn the podcast down. Just because the show doesn't depict it doesn't mean you aren't right. And you are definitely, probably right. Love the show. That's so funny.
See, this is another person who says they're not a shipper, but they do think that we're right and that's where it's going.
Well, that just means they're not into the idea, but they can see it happening.
But they're still listening, which I believe, which just blows me away. So thank you.
Right.
Thank you for still listening.
It's a lot of, because there's a lot of people who don't agree with it, but think it probably could happen.
Well, that's true.
They're like, oh man, it's probably going to happen. I'm going to be mad at the show now.
Then there are the 800 people who have blocked me on Twitter. So
that's amazing.
It's like a wide range of emotions when it comes to Ted and Rebecca.
Yeah, it's true.
More like Leia and Luke. Mm-hmm. 5 stars. I was thrilled to find this podcast. I think Ted and Rebecca will be lonely without each other. Then I remember that they are fictional characters.
Yeah, exactly.
The idea of Leia and Luke is being discussed, especially in the view of Dutch Boatman. I admire this podcast for taking a position.
Nice.
All right, thank you. I'm going to say the same thing I said on Facebook about the Luke and Leia correlation, which is that only one half of our duo is going to look at the other one and say, yeah, they're sibling shaped.
True. I thought you were talking about me and you. Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. I know you brought that up before.
There is no way that Ted's looking at Rebecca and thinking she'd make an awesome sister.
I know, exactly. You're exactly right.
All right, you want this last one?
Sure. Like talking about your favorite show with two of your funny... And I don't have the rest of that title.
Yeah. Sorry. Maybe funny friends.
Hosts? I don't know. Loving this podcast. I was not a Ted Becker shipper before listening to this, but now I am. Tori and Kevin are hilarious, and the exchange this week about fart songs and their early dating days had me laughing like a lunatic. I vote for more personal anecdotes.
Oh, thank you. Nice. Yeah, this was the review I remember seeing that said that they were not a Ted Becca shipper before.
All right.
So thank you.
Yep.
All right. Well, if you would like to yell at me on Twitter or block me, go for it. It's at Ted Becca Podcast. And we will be back here next week.
Yeah.
For the, what do they call those? Penultimate episode? I don't know. Uh-huh. But you know what, guys? The truth bomb is coming in this episode because it's second to last, or penultimate if you're more educated than I am, and that's when Rebecca always drops the truth bomb.
All right.
So we'll have to see what it is.
I look forward to it, / do not look forward to it.
Okay, bye. Oh, shit. A raccoon just walked into our backyard.
Oh, God.
Do you see it?
No.
Where is it going?
Shit. Where is that going?